Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to This has been talk a little bit. Local movements and that sort of thing. It's a longtime Coffee Party member, and he simply said, I would like to talk to you folks. To which I said, wow, that's great. I don't have anything for my radio show. Come on in, and I'm sure you can enlighten us all. So, in that light, we said, Coffee Party folks' involvement, come on in. So, I spoke to Mike Potters by phone late afternoon yesterday, and he said he had something to say. And we are Coffee Party. He has something to say. I think Mike is online coming in from area code 850. Is that correct?
Yes, that's me.
How you doing, Mike?
Very well, Egberto. How are you?
So far, so good, my friend. But before we get into what we're going to be talking about, let me go ahead and start with the blog that I intended to read for this particular show, and then we'll get on with it. We usually have my little monologue in for the first 10 minutes or so. So hang with me. Let me get this this piece started that I want to get out, and we move on from there. Sounds good?
Absolutely. Thanks.
Excellent. Anyhow, I'm going to put your mic on hold. It's a bit noisy, and then come back to you. Anyhow, the blog post that I wanted to read is called The First Step to Eliminating Immorality That Is Health Insurance. And the reason I wrote that is it's actually going to be featured on the Daily Coast main page tomorrow at around 4 Central. And the reason I came up with that is there was a lot of issues this week about insurance, how it works, how it doesn't work, and Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, and so forth. And I decided, you know, there needs to be some clarification because people really do not understand what's going on, and the reason that there is this ill will towards making better affordable care for the American citizenry. So here it goes. To many liberals, the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, was a gift to insurance companies. In fact, many of those in the opposing Obamacare, because it did not go far enough. It was not Medicare for all, single payer, nor did it have a public option. Corporate interests won the first round, but they will lose the war, and they know it. It is for this reason that the GOP continues to fight the battle against Obamacare, just hoping that just maybe they can break it before metastasis. When one is born, one does not choose gender, genetic makeup, or predisposition to any particular disease. As a mostly free society, one does not dictate what foods people can eat, what legal vices they may indulge in or whether they should be sedentary or active. We know that the vast majority will at some time get sick. Moreover, we know that some that live a very responsible and healthy life will get sick often, and some that live a rather unhealthy and irresponsible life will rarely get sick. Of course, the converse is also true. My father cycled 10 miles frequently, walked 2 to 5 miles every day, ate well, got his annual exams, and suddenly died of a heart attack at 77. My mother-in-law continues to eat badly, does no exercise, had a quadruple bypass and many other surgeries, and thankfully remains with us. And she's over 88 years old. As a civil and moral society, we, the people, create institutions to do things that are done better together than as individuals. We don't each build a piece of road in front of our homes or independent paths to a grocery store. Because roads, schools, national defense, satellites, etc., are of utmost importance to our continued existence, we, the people, collectively finance it. They are not free. We all pay towards it because individually it is impossible or unduly burdensome. How can we not look at health insurance in that same light? How could we have sold our health and financial well-being to be traded like a commodity? You cannot be pro-life and support a health insurance system that discriminates by gender, pre-existing condition, or some other metric. Doing so is the potential abortion of a born human life. Insurance companies have fiduciary responsibility to maximize profits for its shareholders. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that based on our current economic system. From the insured point of view, the sole purpose of a health insurance company is to pay a medical bill if one gets sick. Paying a bill requires no innovation and very little skill other than verifying a bill is not erroneous or fraudulent. Health insurance companies add one complexity, risk. In other words, because there are several insurance companies and they all must make a profit, they must limit risk. They limit risk by only insuring healthy people. This means all those that are sick or have a pre-existing condition or left without insurance or with overpriced or substandard insurance. Health insurance companies also use several methods to increase their profits. They delay payments to providers. They deny procedures and drugs, meaning insurance come in between you and your doctor. They have maximum payouts, or they simply throw you off the policies based on biased technicalities. These are acts that can bankrupt your family, materially affect your health, and thus can kill you. As such, they are immoral. Obamacare gets rid of the immoral parts of health insurance. The practices of rescission, denied coverage for pre-existing conditions, and caps will be gone. Many new preventative screenings had to be part of every plan without copays. 80% or more of premiums must go towards actual health care, not in the pockets of somebody. There are several health insurance companies. Each one must have its own CEO, CFO, board, advertising, shareholders, buildings, and staff. The cost of duplicating all these expenses is the reason why up to 33% of every insurance dollar goes into someone's pocket instead of into healthcare. We are asked to unlearn basic arithmetic in order to accept that the above system could somehow be less expensive or more efficient than a system where we all pay a premium to a single entity, and that one entity pays the medical bill for those who get sick. No advertising, multiple CEO, multiple CFOs, multiple board of directors, multiple shareholder expenses, etc., gone. During the Affordable Care Act debate, there was a public option that would have simulated the latter. Lobbying summarily, and this is where we have to look at our mission, lobbying, moneyed interest, the moneyed interest in politics, summarily got it removed, because had it made it into the act, over a short period of time, arithmetic would prevail, as the public option would be less expensive for any given plan. It would then turn Obamacare into a single-payer system by attrition. There are several different pathways to reach the same goal. It is, however, important that the paths are built. Obamacare is the path built with pebbles and stones. It is better than the mud path of years past. As riders demand a smoother path, they won't yearn for the mud path again, but for a paved road. Americans will not go back after tasting health care, health insurance as a right with all the benefits mentioned above. Exchanges will become single-payer entities as health insurance companies are unable to demand the profits they want. Eventually, exchanges will morph into Medicare for all. The genius of Obamacare is not that it solved the problem in its entirety. The genius is that it made reverting to an immoral system untenable. That is the insurance issue in a nutshell. And that is what we need folks to understand. But with that, let me bring in my good friend here, Mike Potter. Mike, how are you doing today, my friend?
Hey, Berto, I'm doing great. First thing I want to say is bravo. Your composition of that thesis, you're incredible. I thought that was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for it.
Well, I would love to hear some comment on it, because it's one can write something, and this is one of the things we really need input from everywhere, from all people, even from those who oppose. Because when you oppose something, and that's the thing that I like to bring as one person, as just one person, to Coffee Party, and that is the ability to engage in a conversation, whether initially you agree with it or not, just because the mere fact that you're putting stops to it. The mere fact that there's a conservative action makes it better, because you fight the inconsistencies that could be there. So is there something that you can tell me that you saw, that you've seen in that first of all, that you fully understand? And secondly, is there something that you think needs to be added?
Well, let's see. My job is working in a piece of the insurance industry and managed mental health care for Medicaid recipients. And I live in the state of Florida, where our state government has been in opposition against taking advantage of the federally supported option to expand the Medicaid covered people. And it's something that has it's done because of ideology and because of beliefs of the people who control the legislature and the government in Florida. But the consequences, because of the kind of things you're talking about in the economics portion of your thesis, the consequences to the people of Florida and to the healthcare system in Florida is horrible. It makes it much more expensive. Our hospitals have to give away free services in emergency rooms that are very expensive services to people who are more sick and more at risk of dying because they didn't have access to the more preventive primary levels of care that cost a lot less. And as a result, insurance rates for us in Florida, our citizens, will be higher. As a result, hospital costs will be higher, and those will be passed on to patients through insurance and through direct bill. As a result, other consequences include, there was one more major one that slips my mind, but you get my point. Oh,
and right.
The overall health of the citizens in the state is detrimental. And in a sense, we Florida citizens are paying twice. We're going to be paying higher bills for our health care because of these increased costs, and we also are paying federal taxes that are not coming into our state in order to provide this health care benefit to all of us.
Mike, I thank you. I asked you if I missed something, and that last statement that you just made is a very important statement that should have been placed in this document as well. And that is for those who are determined or for those states that chose not to accept the Medicaid expansion of the Affordable Care Act, they are charging their citizens twice because they get higher prices for service as well as they do not get a reduction in the taxes paid to the federal government. That's an excellent point.
And a lot of the people who are working the hardest and getting paid most poorly and don't have benefits are going to suffer with increased health risk, increased damage to their health, and increased risk of death.
Exactly. That is actually great. I'm glad, one of the reasons that when you sent me that thing saying, hey, you wanted to talk about local community involvement and with CP parties and other groups as well. One of the reasons I brought this subject up as well is I think a lot of the problems we have, and I think you sort of alluded to that in the text that you send me when you say, how are we all using our resources, whether it be Coffee Party or any other organization, that we have dropped the ball in? I mean, the information that I provided here is not rocket science or something that real is not there in the aggregate, but it's not something that the average citizen is sitting down there contemplating. So unless a lot of times it is formulated for them, it doesn't get any coverage. And if we are not there, those of us in the know now are not there formulating this message and all the other messages that you talk about as well, which is money in politics and why do they or why should they care about it, then we're really not doing our jobs, are we?
No. Well, if we're missing major opportunities, major, very affordable opportunities to do so much more. And here's a tie-in with your composition just now, with your message and with the impact of it. It needs to be distributed much more widely than just simply, and it'll do more good if it's distributed much more widely than just to the people who are following your blog, following this program, and reading on the Coffee Party Facebook pages and on the Coffee Party web pages and blog pages. It needs to be something that can be that's going to receive the attention of people who disagree with what it says, because it's a very reasonable discussion, fact-based, thoughtful, about things that people need to open their minds and think about. It's a statement that's said in a way that doesn't insult them away from the conversation because it brings up other things with which they disagree that don't belong in that conversation. It's something that grassroots groups, that local coffee party meeting groups, can bring to public discussions that they bring their communities to, and that community will include people who don't like to go on the internet, who don't like to listen to talk radio, people who aren't friends at the coffee party, but they're interested in that topic, people who disagree with us. It'll spread the message much further, and at the same time, they'll find out about who we are and what we do, and we need that to happen badly.
That is actually an excellent statement that you make there. I like another thing that you said, and that is the way that, in other words, I think you just said we need to also not only preach to the choir, but actually expand to expand the vision, if you will.
We've done a fabulous task in the last couple of years in our preaching to the choir of honing our skills, of becoming, as you are, a very seasoned presenter and talk show host and essayist on these things. We've honed our skills and we've developed our internal community, and now, you know, we need to take advantage of the opportunity to apply those skills beyond our own group.
Now, as somebody that's outside there, and I think that is part of the reason you contacted me, somebody out there looking at things from the outside in, what are you really seeing? What are you suggesting that groups like ours think about doing as far as not only getting our message out, but getting our message out in a form that people will want to listen to?
Well, getting the message out in a form that people will want to listen to, the one thing that comes to mind is remaining focused, cross-partisan, and 99.9% perfectly civil when we're having those communications with those groups that, you know, include people that don't fully agree with us on all of our points. Stay on one point, the one that we're commonly interested in. Portions of healthcare is something that we're all interested in, although we have disagreements. The corruption of big money in government is, I believe, something that all of us have interest in, whether it's Tea Party, extreme right, extreme left, non-affiliated, nonpartisan. All of us have an investment in that task. And with the people, when we want to form the strongest alliance with the most people, we have to stay focused on our common ground.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying as far as staying focused with our common ground. And that is one of the things that I guess it is something that you have to learn. It's always easier to degenerate into. I mean, I put up a post earlier today about about something that happened here in Texas with Ted Cruz and this sort of a birther thing. And I know I'm going to go off subject a little bit to get to the point that I'm trying to get to. I remember one time Michael, one of our previous board of directors, looked at a posting that I made, and Michael Charney, and he sent me a message, and he said, "Egberto, is this what you really wanted out of the posting that you made?" And granted, the type of what I attracted with that post was a whole lot of negative comments to attack the person that I was featuring in the post. And Michael forced me to think about how I wasn't disappointed with the post, because I couldn't see to first get the people's attention on the internet. You have to I hate to say this, but you have to have a headline that draws somebody to read your posting. And
you know,
right? You have to get that headline to bring somebody in. And the thing about it is, if people may say, well, that headline was a bit too racy, but had that headline not had been racy, you don't get any views to put your message out. So you have to strike some particular balance. So
decided. And the final measure is the outcome.
Exactly. But I took that message from Michael very seriously, because while I want the message to be read, I don't want the message to be read as just a sounding board to be flogged or to flog the person in the message. So today I put out one on the comparison of how the birther situation was handled with Ted Cruz, our Texan here, and President Obama. And if you go and see how I enumerated it, I first showed the perfect similarities, which was American mother, foreign father, right? And then the second part of the similarity was about the dissimilarity then was that one was born on foreign soil, the other one was born on American soil, but still the benefit of the doubt. And to the callers that are there, I am going to bring you in shortly after this little monologue, if you will. After that, I brought in the portion that Cruz was getting the benefit of the doubt in as much as he was born on foreign soil and the president was born on local soil. What was I trying to do with that argument? The argument that I was trying to get people to look at was that now we have a perfect example or near perfect example where the one that you are supporting is a bit more contentious constitutionally than the one that you are really beating up on. So then it gives you the option to ask then, what really is the reason or that you so much want to bring up an issue of birth on this particular person and not the other? And
as long as everybody kept listening to the entire message.
Right. So then I as soon as I put that message out, bam, the things that came out was, this person was foolish or this or that. So at that point, I said, I think I better interject a comment here and say, I'm not writing this to be for folks to beat up on the person, but you want to show the analogy in such a manner that folks can actually do, you know, see the contrast and say, maybe it's some other reason. Maybe it really is prejudice. Now I see that they're not really playing a race card, but they're actually looking at intrinsic prejudice here. And with that, Mike, stay with me, but I want to bring in the caller on 503. 503, who am I speaking with?
It's Dan Aronson. How are you, Abraham?
Hey, Dan,
Mike.
What's going on, Dan?
How are you?
I'm doing well. How's things in the other corner of the world, Mike?
Well, I got on a terrific bike ride, and it started pouring on me, and it looks like it's going to be pouring rain the rest of the day, but that's fine. I'm in Florida, where it's warm, and once you get wet, you can't get wet anymore. You're wet.
Now, that is a great attitude if I've ever heard one. we have that up here in Oregon in the winter. That's And my friends that tease me that moved from Chicago that tell me it's raining all the time up here in the winter, I remind them, yes, but you don't have to shovel rain. Egberto, the reason I've been listening, and I've been listening because I as the channels director guy, and if we're going to have a discussion around local chapter activity and talking and working with other groups, I thought maybe I should listen and hear what our folks had to say, but you said something that made me hit the one button, and that was when you talked about we were talking about how do we draw people into a conversation, right? And so you said, well, you have to be a little bit provocative, right? But I think the question that has to be in the author's mind, at least this is what I try to do, is it's not just drawing people in, it's who do I want to draw in? And also, it's important to know that you're setting the tenor of the conversation. And I give you a perfect example of one that I think backfired on somebody, and I don't know who made this post, but on the National Coffee Party page last week, there was a post about Rand Paul making an assertion that there's no evidence of voter discrimination against African Americans.
Right.
Now, the way it was posed, though, it was as Rand Paul doesn't believe there's racism. It was something to the effect of the posts, right? So now, whoa, right? So here's what it drew: 230-ish comments. Maybe 12 actually tried to offer some kind of evidence or rational argument, and the rest were just bashing Rand Paul as being an idiot. a white guy who has no right to talk about the African American being discriminated against. He doesn't have a brain cell. He doesn't have working. There's no evidence of Rand Paul having brain. I mean, it was just nothing.
It was
but
terrible.
That.
I saw that. But if I may interrupt
you
a second,
how are you going to control that? I mean, at this point, it's the social climate and it's human nature. You can reduce that. You can prevent. But Dan, what do you suggest? How can we control that?
Well, that's what I wanted to address.
All right, go ahead.
First of all, let me tell you something, Dan. As far as the conversation with Mike Potter discussing local groups and so forth, this is completely informal from a simple text that Michael sent me that I thought would make a great show. As far as you're concerned, being our director of interactions with all other groups, it meant absolutely nothing. You are a regular on my show, and not only are you a regular on my show, but sometimes you simply take my show, as you know.
Well, only when you don't show up.
Yeah.
I'm your backstop.
No, you look here. What you are is my alter ego, my brother. But anyway.
Okay. Fair enough.
But to go back on as far as what you said, Dan, and I'm glad that Mike kind of interjected right there. I am not smart enough at all to be able to create a post that can somehow draw in the kinds of people that I want. But let me go one step further. I don't want to draw in the people that I kind of want. I want to draw in America. And what I mean by that is as follows. I want to bring in, even into that discussion, somebody from the KKK, just because at the end, it just may turn out that this guy likes me and I make an impact in his life with something that I say, and I don't know what that's going to be, when it's going to be, or if it's going to be. So what I want to do is, as provocative as my statement may have gotten to bring somebody in, I have to be responsible, or I have to try to be responsible when I see the fireworks going off, depending on if the fireworks go off, to get in there and mitigate. But there's another important thing that I think we have to look at. When you see 230 comments, and I've done some analysis on this, and by the way, 936, I don't want to overtalk. I'm going to come to you after this. When you see 230-something comments in that column, what you see are the visceral reaction. The ones that have the most visceral reaction are the ones that want to be a part of a conversation. But the vast majority of the people that have seen that post simply did that. Saw the post and, you know, read it and left. And not only have they seen the post and read it, they have either left messages on your post or left messages somewhere else. And so, I mean, I don't know how much scientific evidence there is that the message contents reflect the amount that the people that actually read the post. I mean, I go ahead.
I would bet in that particular instance, Egberto, that, and I'm just going to put a number out there, no scientific evidence, mine is just my gut feeling. Yeah. 80% of the people who made comments like, there's no evidence Rand Paul has any working gray matter, something to that effect, did not read the post. Because
I agree with that, and
here's the other thing. As you well know, and like you're saying, it is coffee party policy that when you make a post, you're supposed to do what we call ride the board and make sure that if things get a little misconstrued or whatever, you can steer the conversation back.
Yes.
No one was doing that for this, so I kind of jumped in and said, hey, he said, he quoted facts, right? He quoted a fact. He said, African-American turnout by percentage was higher than whites, so how can you say that there's anything being repressed? Now, there's lots of ways to answer that question intellectually.
Right.
And there was, three people who did out of the 230 comments. There were three people that actually wanted to refute that, which leads me to believe most people just read the headline and said Rand Paul's an idiot and left.
Right.
I don't think they read the article at all.
Let me tell you one of the reasons that I like that. One time I said that all us posters, right, should really have blogs and not only blogs, but blogs that get some of that, so that they can do some counts. I can see if somebody reads my post or not from Coffee Party. I can see if they do it from Daily Coast. I can see if they do it from different areas because, as you know, I post on these different areas. And I can tell you that it is true that groups like I won't say that. I better not say this quite like this yet. But I can tell you that that my post gets some good responses from these, you know, from the people both on both sites. That is, whether on the Coffee Party site or on the local site. But let me ask you one thing, Dan. Hold the thought there because I have 19.6
yeah.
that's been holding yeah. for a while, and then let's continue the discussion. But this is actually
okay.
great.
I have a request.
Yes, go ahead, Mike. What's
yeah.
your request?
For the sake of a little bit of the focus of my intention,
yes.
if I'd like to try and bring the conversation and invite especially the callers to have something to say about my intention on a couple of points, and I thought maybe a useful way to do that would be to just read the two or three sentences of the email that I sent to you, Egberto, and ask that, you know, then we can take pieces of that, because that's really the thing I'm hoping that, you know, we can focus on.
Okay, I have no problem with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Let me just tell you, if you know about this show, Mike, a lot of times it veers because we like it to be the show of the people, and now you are the people.
Of
so
course.
you just told me what you wanted to get. So that's where we are going to go, and I'm pulling that up as we speak. And
okay.
Let's see what Mike said. When he said, Egberto, I wish to bring a couple of items to the board for direct discussions. Are you a board member to whom I should bring these things to? And then I told him that the board wasn't meeting quite yet and that I liked the subject of what he was talking about, which said the following. Two things I've been thinking about: our national activity, top priority utilization of all our internet and internet radio tools always need to be built and support local community Coffee Party groups. And two, we need to put egos aside and offer our best special resources and skills in support of national movements to get big dollars out of politics and relegate banks and regulate banks and Wall Street. Trying to do any of these things alone rather than as a valuable specialist contributor to the work of other like-minded advocacy groups only cripples our potential to be relevant and serves the interests of the bad guys by splitting the good guys. And before I get to 936, and I want to tell you, like I think I told you yesterday on the phone, Mike, that interesting enough, that last comment that you made is something that we even discussed with 535 as far as working off of others with similar ideas. But we'll get back to that right away, Mike. Let me just get
Great.
936 in. And we get back to that. 936, who am I honored to speak with?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Oh, great. This is Bruce Barnes in the Woodlands in Texas.
Bruce Barnes. How you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing fine. I'm enjoying your program.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Please make your comments, sir.
Well, I had a few comments from your first discussions and about health care and how we can get our thoughts across. One of them is in just writing. And you cannot change people's minds by belittling them. And I noticed that a lot in a lot of blogs. The other, write with respect.
Just for my sake, Bruce, for my sake, the blog that I read, did I do some belittling? I need to, that's educational for me.
No, you didn't. I was
just
referring to other blogs that I've heard, mainly on the conservative side. And what you were talking about with some of the comments on the blogs that were coming back, Ryan Paul is an idiot or something
like
that.
Yeah, that was from Dan.
That is not respect. That is belittling people. And people turn that off. They don't really, like you do, you know, if something comes in like that, you count it off as being somebody that doesn't really know the facts and can't argue what the subject is about.
Right.
So I was trying to make that point with sitting here making a few little notes. You need to write with respect and rational arguments that you can discuss and defend and that sort of thing. You're talking about getting your points across. One of the ways is to use one topic and break down those comments down to simple thoughts and then do multiple blogs instead of just a long blog. Keep
right.
it short. I've written blogs to the Houston Chronicle, and I get comments back that you're saying too much and you're various things that people don't want to read a lot.
Right.
I wrote a little piece for us here on the Affordable Care Act because you could see things happening in Washington, and there was a break in the congressional duties up there, so people were coming back and they were talking about different subjects. And they were talking about defunding Medicare or the Affordable Care Act. Cruz was and several others before they actually came into the state and started talking. So they telegraphed what they're talking about, and you can get your thoughts down as to what you think about the subject and present those before they come in to present their side of it. And you
right.
can get some rational thoughts out that people can understand. Okay? Instead of
Excellent.
Just being
Excellent.
On the own and defensive and rebutting what they're saying, if that makes sense to you.
No, that makes absolute sense, Bruce. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I'm pretty sure a lot of what Mike is going to put out as far as, first of all, local groups and how do we come across with getting our message may have some of that to discuss. But stay with me, Bruce, because what I want to do is Mike was the genesis of this particular topic. I want Mike to take it where he wants to take it, and then we'll revert back to some of the issues that that you're discussing. Let me tell you, Bruce and I go back a long time here in Harris County and Montgomery County. He's one of our intellects out here who knows, who does his research. So anyway, Mike, let's get back to what we wanted to discuss on the issue of that you sent me about.
Okay, I just want to say one thing to Bruce, but listen, I agree 1,000% with your advice about not making your message too long. And one thing I know that happens when I get carried away and write a long message to somebody is if they have an emotional reaction to my third point, then they are no longer even aware of my first, second, fourth, fifth, and sixth point because they're focused on that. And
wow.
I lost so much by just putting too many messages into one post.
You know something? That's a very good point. If you are trying to get a message across and you already tore them apart in the previous thing, everything that goes after that may be for naught. Good point, Mike.
Or just pushed one of their buttons to where they had a reaction and stopped thinking. You know,
right.
Anyway, I'd like to bring us to the first of those two things I'm proposing, which is that the top priority utilization of all of our major resources should, I think, always at this point be to build new local coffee party community groups, to support them, to energize them, to inform them, and to help them come into existence and to make it easy for them as in every way we can to find one another, show them what other groups are doing that they may want to consider as a model for some of their activities, to make them available for some of the messages that we have well-crafted and want to get out to more people than just the people where we're preaching to the choir.
Now, how do you propose that we do that? In other words, what can you add to what we are doing to get that effected? And the folks that are listening, please remember, call us at 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. If you have ideas along the line of Mike Potter's or others of how to better reach people, how to better work with local groups, please give us a call. Please continue, Mike.
Well, one thing might be just on Coffee Party Radio to insert a couple of 30-second commercials that let somebody know exactly what contact button to push for more information and resources about specifically starting local groups and putting the local groups in communication with one another. I think a headline on our major Coffee Party web pages should always be something that draws people's attention to that task and directs them, gives them an opportunity to jump over and see where the other groups are, what they're doing. Not a separate place for each group, because that will split up the traffic and divide the attention. But one central place where there's, you know, some brief information about where they are, who the contact people are, what they're doing, so that people can spread. And then another bulletin board, perhaps, you know, set up with easy access, that's using our tools in order to connect people from the same region and community who have shown any interest at all, wherever possible.
I think if I understand you correctly, you're telling me that right now, if you go to, let's say, our main website, www.coffeepartyusa.com, and somebody wanted to do some local thing, you don't particularly see a place where that person can see if in their community there's something active or close by there's something active. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, but some of it is there, but it's not right in the front of your face to where, you know, you're going to discover it's there if you're looking quickly at the whole post, at the whole page. It's also something that isn't being encouraged as a headline priority. And I think at this point it would be, it's a missed opportunity if we do not make this a headline priority. We need to build that grassroots base out in the towns and cities all across the country. And, you know, we have opportunities to do that with the tools we have.
Can I make a comment?
Oh, please comment, Bruce.
A couple of weeks back, we had a organization that was against Alex. And Alex was meeting up in Chicago, I believe, and they sent out a comment that everybody should start talking about Alex for the next week while that event is going on. And they gave talking points and various things in their emails that could be talked about, and that was, they were encouraging everyone to do that. Now, there are events all the time that need that sort of encouragement to happen at one time so that you get a mass message out.
Oh, that's beautiful, especially because so many people who might be interested in doing something, they say, I don't know how to do that. But if you put in their hands a talking points reference and give them, you know, give them the tool so that they can, you know, follow that and vary from it as they see fit, but start with that, they'll then have the confidence and they'll be doing something that's staying on the major points of the message. That's fabulous. Yeah, and that should be part of it.
I just added, what I'm doing right now as we are talking is making some bullet points of these issues. And so far what I have is, one, create talking points for members to blog about, tweet about, et cetera. That's the second item. The other item is we should probably present easy access to local groups or the formation of local groups. Is that a bullet point that sounds reasonable?
Yes, certainly. Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. I have some other callers. These may be other good ideas from other people. So let me bring them in, and you keep your spot, please, Mike, but I want to make it sort of, you know, keep it on par.
Yes,
212, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, it's Sally Swisher.
Sally, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you? I think this is a great topic. And as somebody who goes to local meetings, you know, because I'm in the Big Apple Coffee Party in New York, and we meet regularly, and we do things within our group, but it would be just so useful if people who had heard of the coffee party but didn't necessarily know who they were or where they were, but they, you know, and they were in New York, if they went to the Coffee Party USA site and could find a contact to the our group and the information that we meet regularly and how to get hooked into that.
I got you. I just add that to the point one. I had presented easy access to local groups and creation of group or easy access to local groups or maybe creation of groups with contacts. So
So because you know you talk to people at a march or something, you say your coffee party, and they remember coffee party, right? They go to the coffee party tonight looking for something. Because and it needs to be something they can do quickly because they may not have a lot of time or be deeply interested.
Right.
But they
right.
might go if they could find it quickly.
Right. Now, what about messaging? What do you think about messaging as how we come across from a messaging point of view?
Well, I value the nonpartisan stance of Coffee Party quite a bit because it gives us the possibility of talking to a lot of different people, which makes me also sometimes a little leery of, say, co-sponsoring an event with a group that is partisan, you know, like a Democratic Party. You know, I might want to go to it or I might want to, you know, talk it up. But I don't – I'm leery about co-sponsoring it because then I think you lose some of the ability to appeal to people who are on a different team but may agree on a particular issue.
Sure, please do.
I agree with you, Sally. Co-sponsoring and partnering with an organization where the definition of what that organization represents and the definition of what we represent is in major conflict is the wrong approach. But forming an alliance about the things we have a common interest in solving is another
right.
story. Right now, the Soviet Union and the United States, we're not partners. We're not co-sponsoring exactly, but they're trying to form an alliance in order to deal with the problem in Syria anyway.
Right.
And I think we miss the opportunity if we don't connect with those partisan groups just about the things we have in common to form an alliance and to work together to solve something.
Definitely. No. I think that, we're not a big enough entity to solve this on our own.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said, if I understand what you said, you meant sponsoring and not working in alliance with, right?
Right. I just mean, you know, when you're working with people, how you get involved with events, there are a lot of different levels of things, you know?
Right.
I always like to keep in mind that Coffee Party has a unique opportunity because it is not a partisan organization. So I don't want to do anything that will, you know, damage Coffee Party's perception, the perception of Coffee Party as
right.
somebody who can be in different places.
Well, let me tell you something. This is sort of on a... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We could put forth a team of specialists who represent
right.
this aspect of what Coffee Party does best and what our brand says most clearly about civil communication among people who disagree and cross-partisanship as a way to bring people together to solve problems. And, you know, we're not all going to be perfect at that, but we could select a team of our best people who do that well and do it with dignity and do it as close to 99.9% as they can, at least when they're in those tasks. And, you know, that could be one of our brands, one of our specialties, one of the things that we go out and do training, consultation, and group facilitation to, you know, that could be one of our, you know, one of the areas where we bring something to the table, to everybody's table.
Right. Now, let me, 412,
I'd like
I'm coming
to you.
Yeah, hold on one second, Bruce. 412, I'm coming to you next, but I want to say something about that with respect to, you know, partisanship and that sort of a stuff. One of the reasons I love Coffee Party exactly for the reasons that it gives. First of all, I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal Democrat. But I want to reach not only liberal Democrats, because I want to reach everybody, because we are one society, we are one country. And not because somebody is not of the same party that I am, do I feel I can't be associated with them. I want to go have a drink with them. I want to go party with them. I want to do it. I mean, it is just like you have different folks with different interests. That doesn't stop your interaction, and that's where I would like us to get again. And I think that is what the Coffee Party offers. Selfishly, that's what the Coffee Party offers me as somebody that is far left, the ability to say, in as much as I'm that way, I want to engage, and not only do I want to engage, I want your input. So that's what I think.
Amen.
I think that's what it brings. That's what it brings if we allow it to do so. And what we have to do is not stifle who you are, but allow yourself to bring folks in. Let me bring 412 in, and then Bruce, I come right back to you afterwards. 412, come on in, please. You're hot, 412. 412, I think you may have your mic muted. Okay, I'll come back to you.
Hey, Berta. Hey, Berta.
Yes, go ahead. Yes?
Yeah, sorry, I did have my phone muted. This is Greg in Pittsburgh. How are you today?
Greg, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really well. This is an interesting show, as always. I would like to just maybe echo what Sally was talking about, I think what the rest of your guests have also mentioned, and that is the Coffee Party website itself being a link to local groups, making that a whole lot more of a useful destination when it comes to finding out what's happening in each of the local chapters.
Right.
That can sometimes be a faster way to get people engaged. But I'd also just like to make a general comment, and I'm no web designer, but I spend enough time on the internet to know that this is just an editorial comment. That wall of text at the Coffee Party website probably chases people away.
I want to pull a site up right now to because we want that kind of information from you.
www.coffeepartyusa.com.
Well, I'm not in front of my computer. I'm going from memory, and it's been a little while since I have put the URL into my browser. But
I understand what you mean. I see exactly what you mean. In other words, as soon as you bring up the Coffee Party site, in effect, what you see is a text of a blog. And what I think you're saying is maybe seeing the text of a blog as opposed to navigation to different items of interest would be more palatable to a person visiting the site.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah, that's the way a newspaper works. The editorials are not on the front page.
Interesting. Great comment, and I need that. I think that is something that before I forget, I need to write that down. Okay, excellent comment. I think, thank you for that, Greg. Is there something else you want to add before Bruce wanted to say something, and then I go to 217?
Yeah, there's one more thing I would add, and that is to echo and support the idea of collaboration with other groups and organizations that share a similar mission. Citizens United is clearly one of them that seems to me, at least, to be at the very heart of what the Coffee Party is about. We need to get the organization, at an organizational level, I think, more engaged with some of those movements. It doesn't seem to be at least as evident as maybe it could be or maybe even ought to be. If we're going to join forces as grassroots organizations, we're very easily conquered when we are not unified, and that's why organizations on the right tend to control the conversation and the framework of every discussion, because they have a degree of unification and resources that maybe if we pulled our efforts together would work a little better.
Let me tell you something.
Big
that
money
I kind of
when we split. Big money
right.
Just loved it when we split.
Exactly. I was about to tell you, Mike, I'm glad that you entered there, because that is an important thing that I just put in there. Now, I kind of refined a little bit of what you said, because it's something that we haven't been doing, and I think Potter's made it quite clear, but I added a little thing to it. I put definitely work in collaboration with others, but asking them to push a message. Like earlier somebody had said, I don't remember who it was, that we needed to have our own talking points that we want folks to put out at any given time, and we should also try to leverage those collaborations to push the message that we want to push out, just like we have pushed out messages for others. Do I read that right?
I would agree totally and wholeheartedly.
Say that again, please.
I think we offer those tools, and people are free to make their own choices about which of those points they want to represent.
Right, okay, encouraging them, not making them, encouraging them to push the message, push our message.
Hey, Berta.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Greg. I wanted to piggyback on that idea. The lack of attention that people tend to give to the details of issues, the whole
right.
notion of attraction to a headline, the opportunity to engage the people who pay attention at a coffee party in a much more expedient way. And I'm thinking along the lines of the kinds of efforts that you see all the time from groups like MoveOn.org that give you an opportunity to sign a petition, send a letter, do those kinds of things that in a matter of a couple of clicks can engage the citizenry to do something other than post how stupid Rand Paul is on
right.
Facebook.
Yeah, we that is something that we probably should. We used to do that a little bit more than we're doing right now, but it's something that we probably need to get back to. Let me get Bruce back in, Greg, and stay with me. I'm leaving you hot, and then I'm going to go to 217. Bruce, you wanted to say something.
Yes, I did. I hear there are lots of nonpartisan types of clubs out there. There's the League of Women Voters, the NOW, the Rotary Club, Move to Amend, Citizens United. All of these really have their philosophy and things that are tied to the Democratic Party. Now, the Democratic Party's purpose is to get candidates and get them elected and serve the platform that we have established. Those platforms and things go to the nonpartisan types of clubs. And like the coffee party has multiple issues that they go about, several of them have, like Move to Amend, one goal and one idea. So we try to pull that into the Democratic Party, but because of our laws and everything, they cannot be associated with the Democratic Party. But we have these people to our club or our meetings and other things to give us insight into various points of view that is the Democratic point of view. So we're not being exclusive of clubs that have, like NOW, we support those clubs. And we'd like for the clubs to support us, too, in a synergistic type of way so that we get that information out to other people. There are lots of people who will not come to the Democratic Party because they're stigmatized with some other points of view or social pressures, but they will go to a nonpartisan club that they will get their information from. And we all need to be working together, not separately.
That I understand exactly the concept you're putting out there, Bruce. 217, and thank you, Bruce. 217, who am I speaking with?
This is Del Williams.
Del, how are you
Hi,
doing?
Del.
I'm doing pretty good. It's a nice day here in East Central Illinois, where we will be shoveling snow soon.
Not soon. Dylan, come on into the conversation. Dylan is our... handles all volunteer activities with Coffee Party, among other things. Tell them what else you're a director of, Dylan.
I basically do volunteer recruitment, placement, and just generally try to get people involved in the Coffee Party. If they're interested in supporting our efforts, you know, we have a place for them. We have a lot of volunteer needs, so spread the word. In fact, if you go to our website, you can see a place to volunteer. Click and fill out the form, and we'll be in contact with you. And that's kind of why I wanted to see this show. I actually hurried through a hair appointment today to get to this. Because
well, thank you.
Well, I had to go get pretty first, but.
But wait, let me tell you, folks. If a woman like Delan tells you that she kind of sped up her hair appointment to come and listen to a show, I mean, I just feel like the king, and all of us guys here should feel like kings. Okay, go ahead, Del.
It's a compliment. Yes, yes. It says a lot about priorities.
Yes. Anyway, go ahead, Del.
But you know the topic. You know, there's so many points that have been brought up here that are just really interesting. I can't touch on all of them, but you know, I do have to say that a lot of the volunteers who contact the coffee party are asking us, how can I get in contact with other people in my area to get together with some like-minded folks who like our mission, like our goals, like our core values. And, you know, and currently we're manually doing it to the extent that we can. And, you know, encouraging them to just go start their own coffee party group because, you know, we're very informal in that regard. So I would just like to encourage people, you know, contact us, but you can go start your own coffee party group.
Thank you for that comment, Dylan. I think that it's very important for people to know that they have the power to go ahead and do that on their own and be loosely affiliated with us, you know, with us being, you know, in effect, sort of like a mothership that's there when necessary.
Hey, bro, let me just insert something about that. I assisted Delan a bit so far, and Dale passed a couple of people to me that I contacted who were on that I volunteer list, and then they come to me and they say, how can I know about other people I can meet with in my community? How can I start a group? And I want to be better prepared to put everything in their hands that we can possibly put in their hands. The contacts, if they exist on any of our lists, the tools, the talking points that would be helpful to them in talking to people in their town. You know, I want to be able to respond effectively to that with everything we can do to help and support them when they say that's
Mike,
the question.
Mike, and that's one of the reasons why when I read your note, to me that note sounded like, come on, guys, I need some help. Let's make direction sort of together. And I really wanted to, I really felt that could move us in sort of that grassroots direction. Last week I did a show sort of on grassroots with one of the reverends that was actually getting results in actions. And when I saw your message, all of that fell into place. So what I would say is for you to be, not only you, but Delan. Delan has her, Delan knows how to go ahead and work with getting the volunteers and hooking them up. And what you've just told me is, okay, Delan sends me here. Now what? And we are going to work better in filling out that now what.
Oh, yes.
So go ahead.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Delan.
Well, I just want to mention that, you know, and you know this, Egberto, that when we had our yearly face-to-face board meeting back in April, you know, we refined our mission statement to say that what we're about is building your
community. We're very intelligent.
Okay, I'm going to have to put a hold on to it. Let me silence a few mics here. Go ahead, Delan.
Okay,
Should I go ahead?
Yes.
You know, we talked about our mission statement, and we decided, and it's on our website, that what we're about is building, nurturing, and connecting communities to reclaim the government for the people. And we are very interested in helping people connect in their local communities. And maybe this is a wake-up call for us that we need to step up our game in doing that, because apparently we have people who want to get into this game. And,
Hey, you hit it on the money, Delan. This is and that's why I gave, as soon as I heard from Mike and I saw the urgency with which he spoke, I called Mike up and I said, all right, I think I texted him back and I said, why don't we do the show based on what you're saying?
Timely, very timely.
Yeah. Let me bring 2101 to come in. I'm going to put another mic on. I think Mike's phone has been making a little bit of noise. Okay, it's kind of stopped, so I'll leave it open.
I'm sorry. I had a voice message coming in on my answering machine. I couldn't control it to the other side of the room.
No problem at all, Mike.
Ted, a coffee party member, who was saying something to me that I'll catch up with later.
Oh, okay, great. Well, 210, you're hot. Who am I speaking with?
Yeah, Egberto, it's John from San Antonio.
Hey, John, my San Antonio guy. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing good. The great blog piece that you read earlier, I thought it was really one of the better pieces you've written. And so I'm looking forward to rereading that on Daily Coast tomorrow.
Thank you, my friend.
I have a little bit of a contrarian view, and I know I'm up against, you know, quite a few people here. But
No, we talk here, John, so every contrarian view is taken and respected as well. So come on in, my brother.
Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and talk about the coffee party and the reason why I don't really, you know, want to join or, you know, really feel that you're, I wouldn't say a serious organization, because I know I agree with, when you actually talk about policy, I agree with most of it. But you spend so much time talking about how you have to be civil and you have to be nonpartisan, that I think it really detracts from what your mission is. I don't know what your mission is. I know that you want to get rid of money in politics, and I agree with that completely. And I see a few other things that I agree with on the website. And whenever I listen to coffee party people actually talk about policy, which is pretty rare besides yourself. I mean, I really enjoy your take on just about everything. But most of the time, you don't talk about policy, and I just don't see any group that has had success in American history or even world history who is a nonpartisan group. I think you have to be partisan. You have to pick your fight. You have to say, this is what we believe in, and we're going to push this agenda. That's what the abolitionists did. That's what the suffragettes did. That's what the civil rights movement has done. I've been watching C-SPAN 3 most of the week, talking about the 50th anniversary march on that they're going to be doing, and they were talking about the people who were involved in the civil rights movement, and they didn't talk about how we had to have a conversation. They talked about, this is what I believe in, and this is what we're going to do to accomplish this. And
John,
that's what movements do. That's what movements
John,
do.
John, first of all, let me tell you, I don't know how contrarian you're really being. Let me say something first of all. I've made the point several times that if you are fighting about civility and how civil you need to be, then you're missing the point. You're not getting your message across. I think I've said that. I'm not only that, but I think I don't know if you've heard me say that. What I think is, in several blogs, I always state that as a mission, we must state that what we are in support of, yes, money out of politics and all of that, that's a generic stuff, right? There are a bunch of people doing that. Citizens United, free speech for the people, a lot of people doing all of that. But as long as we go out there and we state specifically, we are in support of middle-class policies, middle-class-centric or working middle-class-centric policies that lift the poor into the middle class, policies that allow those in the middle class to maintain their status or move up if they want to, as long as those are our major goals, we can then start saying we support this policy because it will do that. And if that falls on a Democratic platform, as I come out strongly in support of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, which is staunchly a Democratic position, so be it, because it is something that is beneficial to the middle class. If it is, if it happens to be that something that is positive for the middle class is something being pushed by a conservative part of the body politic, then Coffee Party has the freedom as an organization to support that, because it is within its purview as well, which is that which advances the working middle class. Now, when I am wearing a partisan hat, as Bruce knows, when I am a Democratic partisan, I am, by being in a party, required as that partisan to support those policies. That is within any party. What the Coffee Party gives a person like myself freedom to do is have that extra degree of objectivity. And to that end, I'm suggesting to you, my friend in San Antonio, we want you. We want your stance here in Coffee Party. I'll put it more bluntly. We need you in the Coffee Party for exactly the type of intellect and rationality that you are going to provide, when, just as Mike was able to say, we are veering off course here and there, and this is, applies to any group, that you are there to provide that as well. But we don't want you there just on politics done right saying that. We want you doing that as a member. And I'm telling this to everybody that's listening to the show right now. We want engaged people in, not fearful that because they have a, like how you prefaced your opinion, I may be the oddball out here, or I may be the contrarian. No, you're not the contrarian. You're a part of the discussion, and that is the discussion that we're talking about. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, Gerardo?
Yes, go ahead, Don.
Yeah, this is Dan. I think it's maybe this is a good point to talk about transpartisanship, because I think, John, you might have us a little at a different explanation of what transpartisanship means. Transpartisanship is not a position. It is not nonpartisan. It is not bipartisan. It is none of those things. Transpartisan, and maybe this is just it's a problem with the word itself, because it has the word partisan in it, but it's about allowing every single viewpoint at the table and having respectful, fact-based discussions and listening actively to the other person, and kind of wiping away any kind of predisposition you might have in the conversation based on somebody self-identifying as a conservative or a liberal or a Democrat or a Republican. So partisanship is okay as long as you're respectful and you listen to everybody else's position. And the idea is you have those discussions where you can find the common ground, because that's the place then where you can plant the seeds of commonality and grow the solutions that are best for the majority of the people. So,
you know, I want to piggyback on top of Dan, because Dan, you're so right. And I think, however, what I'm going to say is I think we have to accept failure for all those, because there are many that have expressed the sentiment that John has expressed. There are many now, and John expressed that sentiment on the liberal side. There are many on the conservative side that, inclusive some pretty close to us, that don't quite get what you quite well explained there. So I think we have to do a better job of getting there, so that both sides can see what that is, because what we want is all those sides there.
Exactly. And I think there's a couple of simple issues for engagement, the rules of engagement, that if we were to employ to discussions would really pave the way for very nice transpartisan discussions. And I think first and foremost is, let's not talk about the politics of an issue. Let's just focus on the issue. You talk about healthcare. We all want to be healthy, right? That's a transpartisan issue. Everybody wants to be healthy, and everybody wants to have access to healthcare. So that's something we can agree about. Education, Everybody wants to have the best schools for their kids and the best schools for everybody else's
kids. Can I make
kids.
A point here?
Please do.
Yeah, I disagree that most people want the best schools for themselves. I mean, if you look at history, the Northeast has always put more money into schools. I mean, historically, going all the way back to the 17th century in the South has always had more of an oligarchy as far as the government is concerned, and has always, and this continues to this day, especially living in Texas and all throughout the South. And so I don't agree that people want education. I mean, it sounds like something a lot of people would say, but they
John,
don't back
I
that up with their policies.
Something. I want to ask you something, John, and you know, because I struggle with this. Oh, I got an echo. Somebody with the speakerphone, could you please, while you're not talking, put your mic on mute, or I'll probably have to try to find which mic to mute. Anyhow, here it is, John. Do you think that that people themselves don't want education? Let's say we're talking about here in the South, in Mississippi, and these places, or it is that it is their politicians that they continue to elect that they allow to mislead. In other words, if the Coffee Party is out there pushing, as Dan says, everybody wants education, and we can prove to them that they're being misrepresented, do you think we stand a chance that way or not?
Does the Coffee Party stand a chance, or what do you mean?
Any group, because I agree with Dan that ideally speaking, everybody would want. And folks, I'm going back on phone. I'll bring people back in as I get rid of the echo. I agree with Dan that what happens, and it seems like it was Dan's phone giving the echo. I think that we have a lot of folks that want the same thing but are misled on how to get there. But I don't know if that's you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people, you know, it goes with what Thomas Frank talks about, and when he talks about what's wrong with Kansas, and he talks about people
exactly.
who vote against their own interests. And here's what I think happens. You have all these political think tanks and the big money interest and Limbaugh and all Fox and all these people who are directing their you know, thought process towards people, and then people adapt this. I mean, you see it all the time. I talked about it on C-SPAN. This lady was calling in, and she was talking about how there was a healthcare group in her local city in California. But then at the end of the conversation, and helped her get healthcare and how great it was, but at the end of the conversation, she was saying, but I don't believe in welfare for other people. You know, it's just for health care. And so,
right.
I mean, it's like they have to have this caveat because they're so brainwashed. And that's what's happening. That's what's happening with education now. Before, 20 years ago, the state used to pay, you know, 50% of all tuitions. In the state, you know, through state
right.
taxes. Now they only pay 25%, and now we wonder why people, students have these incredible debts. And you've talked
right.
about
this
before.
That is so true. And we actually discussed that on my Move to Amend show with a student activist. But I don't want to go there because I want to bring Mike Potter back in to actually. I want to tie some things up between you and Mike right now, Mike. Going back to
yes,
the local,
yes.
You hear what you hear some of the concerns that John has as far as, let's say, the pushback from a group like Coffee Party because of you heard what he said. Now,
yes.
How do we work towards expanding this movement, expanding these local groups, so that we can address a lot of what he talks about, the address talking to people to make a difference?
Well, one of the things that comes to mind as far as expanding the people who enter our conversation. We've had some examples of it in the last year, especially here in our little community group in Pensacola. We conduct a lot of, over the course of the year, discussions and forums where we bring together people to discuss an issue and a topic. Well, the BP oil spill affected us very severely and affected our economy, our environment, and we're right on the Gulf Coast. Pensacola Beach is a resort area that families can come to. That's an inexpensive, relatively inexpensive beach resort for families that come from as far away as Minnesota to bring their children by car. And, you know, it was severely damaged. That income was severely damaged. That economy was severely damaged.
Right.
And my point is, here in Pensacola, we have some of our public meetings about oil, about big oil, about water quality, about the environment. And since the BP oil spill, those are areas of interest in this locality in particular that bring together people from the left, from the right, from the center, all over the place, because we're all being affected by that. In each locality, there may be a different particular local issue that's going to bring people to the conversation when you hold an event.
Now, let me ask you, I want to push that a little further.
Can I, Mike, stop you there.
Yeah, come on in. Come on in, Aunt Sally.
Oh, wonderful. I've been pushing one because I thought I had to raise my hand. Sorry.
Oh, no,
anyway.
I left your mic open, so it's a free-for-all right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I really do want to come in on what Mike was saying, because one of the things I really like about Coffee Party is that a local group can decide within itself a lot about what it does. And I think it would be just tremendously helpful to be able to see on the website, for me to go to the Coffee Party website and see what Mike's doing. And that gives me an idea that, oh, environment's big, environment's a good pull for him. That might be something we might want to focus on, you know. But if I can see what people are doing in other chapters and what kind of response they're getting, I would find that tremendously helpful. And the other thing I would like to say is that I think it would be so useful if, like, somebody lives in somewhere in Indiana, for example. They are interested in the Coffee Party, but they don't necessarily want to start a chapter if there's, you know, by themselves. But if there were some way for them to leave their name as a public thing on the site of I'm interested and I'm here, then anybody else who goes and looks to see what's going on in Indiana might could see that and say, oh, there's somebody interested in Muncie. You know what I mean? Oh, and then they could, it would help them be able to be in contact and get something going.
I love it.
I love that. I'm writing that one down right now. in other words, what you're saying is that is a good thing. And then I want to bring John back in, because John is the biggest skeptic on the line right now. John, I could actually envision seeing you and I actually having some sort of a group formed here that works on that could actually work on something that I mean, of course, you have to get alliances that work on. You know what are the two pressing issues or the three pressing issues in Texas right now? That is women issues, healthcare issues, and environment issues. So I mean, and we could probably draw a lot with that.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I'm going to be going to a Planned Parenthood seminar on Monday, and they're going to be talking about what they're going to do, you know, with all the Planned Parenthood places closing, unfortunately, and how we're going to deal with that. And hopefully, we're going to talk about how we're going to put people in the Affordable Care Act, give them information about that. But one thing that whenever you have this blanket, you know, we're not going to talk say anything negative about people who we don't agree with, then you kind of give them power.
No, I'm going to stop you right there, John. John, I got to stop you right there, because you read my blogs, and I am a Coffee Party member. And it is known that it is that the blogs that I write, while I write it as me, I am a Coffee Party member. And you know that I call a spade a spade. Just like you here are able to call a spade a spade, you will never, ever have to not call a spade a spade. All we ask really, and I think it is the way we converse here. Just listen to how we converse here. We are a station that talks and listen to everybody's point of view and do exactly that. So I mean, oh, somebody had to correct my use of terminology with the spade. Whatever, you know. Come on, give me a break. I don't know what I'm saying sometimes.
That's all right.
No, Egberto, that was me. That was me. I'm saying absolutely call the spade a spade is absolutely coffee party us. It's just don't call a club a spade. In other words, be fact based. As long as you're fact based, you can't go wrong.
Okay,
I
didn't know if I missed, if I said, if I used the wrong colloquialism or what. I just didn't know, you know. But anyhow, so you see what I'm saying, John? You understand.
Yeah. Right, but anyhow, I do want to make a point though.
Yes, sir.
The most important thing that you seem to talk about on the coffee party, the people who call into your shows, and also, you know, I've read the website. I got the website up right now. And like I said before, when you actually get down to policy, when you actually talk about policy, I mostly agree with you. But what I don't understand is that, you know, you have allies. You have allies who feel the same way that you feel. And I think you are not tapping into those allies. Let's talk about overturning Citizens United. You can do a little exercise, and you can Google Democrats who want to overturn Citizens United, and you will get a tremendous amount of people who want to do it. And you can do the same thing with Republicans, and you'll get some hits, but it's not very strong. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't any. Like the Maine legislature, some Republicans actually passed a bill to do that. So, I mean, there are some people, but you cannot. It seems like you're pushing so hard to be nonpartisan that you're not relying on who your allies are. And if you look at successful movements, they take advantage of those allies.
And that's important.
Before Congress, the Anti-Corruption Act, I think it already has sponsorship from a couple of representatives, one from the right and one from the left, if I'm not mistaken. Other people know more of the
statistics
about that.
Now, I do want to. Okay, who wanted to come in?
Well, I'd like to say that I don't think being trans or non or partisan means not having strong opinions. But that if you're going to talk about Citizens United or the repeal of Citizens United or money out of politics and money not being speech, those are discrete issues that can be talked about without pushing the Democratic Party.
Now, Sally, I want to do a minor pushback there in one regard. I think it is necessary sometimes if a particular party is being the obstructor of a particular policy, I think it is almost fraudulent if it isn't made that way respectfully. But I think it would be, when we talk about false equivalences and that sort of thing, I think people ought to know what the reasons are. In fact, one of the things within 535 that we were talking about is having people tell what their positions were so that we could actually see, what causes, why it is that we are not moving in particular issues where we need to move. So while I agree... that we shouldn't make partisanship be the enemy of a policy. If a party is obstructing a policy, I think we have to, and this is my opinion at least, I think we have to make that known. Don't you think so?
Well, I'm not saying you can't do that. I think that's fine. The only thing I want to avoid is it's easy to get into a lot of fights about stuff that isn't really the point.
Right.
You know?
I agree with that.
Like how I feel about President Obama and what he should have done and what he has done and what he is really not the point, because he
right.
will do what people make him do.
Right.
You know? So
repeat
to me,
I want our liberal base, our conservative base to understand that.
That is such an important statement. He will do what we make him do.
Right. So getting into an argument about whether he's a good or bad guy is beside the point. And it takes up a whole lot of time,
exactly.
as far as I'm concerned, if I want to talk about money out of politics.
Exactly. Yeah. That's an important point. Somebody trying to come in. Who's that? I heard a guy trying to come in.
Oh, I was saying yes.
Oh, okay. Okay, do you want to add some more, Mike, or after what Sally said?
Just, you know, here in Pensacola, you know, we have it publicly made clear during elections and during campaigns that there are certain issues that we are advocating, and just a few, and also that we recognize that this candidate supports that issue, this candidate doesn't. We're not supporting the candidate, but we're making clear that these things have been identified in their platforms. And that's all perfectly acceptable, transpartisan, cross-partisan, civil. You know, I don't think we're violating anything, do you?
No, not at all. I'll put it bluntly. Like I said, what prompted me to say this was John's statement, because if John and other people have if John and other folks believe that we are chained in it by policy, we are screwed, and that is my uncivil screwed statement. In other words, we cannot be chained by some civility policy to prevent or to allow the effecting of positive change for the middle class. I mean, other than if that's the case, you have no purpose. And that is what John was alluding to. John is saying, hey, guys, if you are held impotent by the machinations of what is civil and what is not and what is partisanship, you spend all your time discussing those things, and you get absolutely nothing done. So, come on in, please. Was that Greg? Right. Greg, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Come on in, sir.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to echo the things that John was saying. And I don't mean this to be pejorative, but I'm really eager for the day when the coffee party evolves into something more than just a pleasant discussion between people with different opinions. You have an opportunity with the kind of presence you have today, either continue to be, and I don't mean this to be insulting because I'm a big supporter, you can continue to be a non-factor, or you can take a stand, you can support the people who will support the same sort of ethics, beliefs, and values that we have collectively as a group, which do tend to skew, it seems to me, and unapologetically, to the liberal side of the platform, for whatever that
Listen.
Is.
I am going to be frank with you. You have not said something. What you think was pejorative is something that I say all the time, okay? You have to be careful that you do not become impotent. And one of the reasons this touched me when – and this is all because of Mike Potter. Because what I saw from Mike Potter's dialogue – and this wasn't the first instant that Mike and I got into conversation – or several other coffee party people contacting me directly, but it is exactly what you're echoing, dear Greg. And Dan, I'm going to you can get your mic hot when it's time to come in. It's just that you have an echo. Why I kept on turning that off. But Greg, what Greg said is so important. You know, you can keep having dialogue and have absolutely no influence. Let me be frank. I went to the Democracy Convention as the Coffee Party rep with Move to Amend, and we talked to a lot of people. Whenever I'm with Move to Amend is an organization where we are in partnership with, and I sit on their board as well. And I keep the what I like to say, the Coffee Party. I keep the Coffee Party. What frame of mind, which is I am not the person that's going to go out there and be militant and all of that. I am going to be in a manner that we can get something done. Okay, that's my point of view. I don't necessarily
get
want to. I don't think the person who makes the most noise is the person who actually gets something done. Likewise, I don't think the person who stays timid is the person who gets something done. So I'm right there with John. I'm right there with Greg. So I believe that. So when you make that statement, it isn't something that I haven't heard at the Democracy Convention. At the Democracy Convention, everybody knew who Coffee Party was. Everybody knows who Coffee Party was. And everybody had the same sentiment. When are you going to do X, Y, Z? And I am there saying, well, you know, we have a board that is working on that, which it is the board working on listening to folks. This is our listen back tour with you guys right now, listening to things that we must, as a group, improve on to ensure that we get that message out. And
well,
Dan wants
to take that to the next level where we can be, say, we've got 30 or 40 or 50 community Coffee Party groups working on it too.
I am with you 100%, Mike. I think Dan wants to come in again. I've been turning him off for the echo. Come on in, Dan.
I've been self-muting, so I'm not sure it's me. But anyway, I don't know what you want me to say.
I thought you actually raised your hand. I'm sorry, I turned you back off. Okay, so let's see, where am I, Mike? So you can come back in.
I just wanted to add something that I've been thinking about, civility and cross-partisanship lately. I started a couple of weeks ago using the word cross-partisanship because I think it implies a little bit more of the reality that very few of us are nonpartisan. They're both tools in our toolbox, and the purpose of those tools is the outcome of conducting a productive conversation that leads to solving a problem or improving an understanding among people who don't agree about a lot of other things. So there's a time when it's very important to follow that discipline and take out those tools and use them 100%. But we also have to recognize that other than Jesus and Buddha, not many of us have ever lived our lives 100% as civil people. In the locker room, I'm not civil. I mean, I know half the people on this call, maybe all of us, at times, we've had to have our friends correct us for stepping out of line and being a little bit too uncivil. I did it at a Coffee Party meeting where I put it on the agenda last year that we should consider having a public meeting that would discuss a couple of the provocative segments of a TV show called The Newsroom. And my friends very gently put me back in my place and said, that's not going to come across the way you want it to. That's not what we want to represent. That's going to alienate people. And they were absolutely right. And it's also not purely what the Coffee Party wants to represent in Pensacola. I think we all have to be corrected by our friends one another, and we have to expect that none of us are going to be perfect, and very, very, very few of us are truly nonpartisan. And I don't want to be.
Right. Exactly. But one of the things that we have to do is be honest. And that's why I come out all the time and tell folks, you know, first of all, they see what I write. And secondly, I tell them, well, if John likes what I write, then you know exactly what I am. Right, John?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that you are a little bit different from a lot of the other Coffee Party members. I mean, and again, when we actually start talking about policy, I agree. Like, I'm reading the sentences here. It says, our path for restoring democracy in America includes identifying and advocating for legislative fixtures to reform campaign finance laws, Wall Street regulations, and the tax code. I agree completely, and I think those are right at the top of the list, you know, for things that have to be done. And then the second part is promoting cultural changes to address political disengagement, polarization, and widespread misinformation. Now, I agree with the political disengagement. I don't agree with the polarization because I know my beliefs will polarize people. If I tell people I believe in the Scandinavian model of the economy, people are going to be polarized. They're going to say, "Oh my God, he's a socialist," and I say,
"But
well,
I want to explore that because I think that's an important issue. Because personally speaking, I am for the Scandinavian model as well, and I want to ask you a question as to, I want to put out something there. I am of the belief that most Americans informed would be for the Scandinavian model as well. So my question to you is as follows. Do you think do you think that maybe what we have to work on is actually being able, as opposed to being putting at issue polarization, is accepting polarization with the intent to converse and attempt to educate and change? Because I think most humans, I'll be honest with you, except for those that are absurdly selfish and absurdly power hungry, I think the vast majority of Americans are good people. I say that all the time. But I also think that the vast majority of people just about want the same thing. Yes, some want to work harder and should be rewarded for working harder, and some want to work less. But at the same time, there has to be a baseline. And I don't know that the Scandinavian baseline has proven anything but successful thus far, even with the downturns.
Yeah. Alberto, can I add something on that?
Please do.
Get that point across with, or a very effective way to get that point across with more people who aren't in that position is in the kind of face-to-face dialogue that happens in a community where I'm demonstrating to you that I'm listening to what you have to say, and you're demonstrating to me that you're listening to what I have to say in return, because we're only saying a little bit at a time and looking for a response.
That's a very good point,
Mike. That
can happen
grassroots, face-to-face, a lot more effectively sometimes, and the personal contact, than it's ever going to happen in a blog where somebody decides to stop reading as soon as they hit a sentence they didn't like.
You know, that is such a good point. And I remember several months ago, I always used to say this thing, flesh and blood, flesh and blood. Yes, people like to believe that you can do everything online and you can have all the social networking and that sort of thing, but you need flesh and blood. Sometime I'm going to drive to San Antonio, and me and John are going to go out and have some coffee, and he's going to bring me some of his rebel friends, and we're going to just sit down and talk. Right, John?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Hey, listen, I have another idea along those lines that I wanted to mention on our list of grassroots support, and that is regional coffee party retreats.
I love that.
People are within driving distance. Like, for example, I live in Pensacola. Dale Williams, I don't know if you're still on the line, Dale, but we have talked about doing a retreat in the Smoky Mountains, which is within driving distance to both of us and to a great many other people, including Kentucky, where we could very inexpensively, without any coffee party budget, rent a cabin in the Smokies for like $120 plus $10 a person that sleeps 18 people, 16 people, and we could plan a program, we could have a vacation with our families, and we could at the same time have a lot of that face-to-face kind of networking that's going to create a relationship that that goes way beyond what you can do on a blog or on the telephone.
We need to, I like that idea, and, it's funny that I like that idea, which is something that Move to Amend does right now. They call them convergences, where regionally groups meet. But we're kind of getting low on time, and I want to bring 630 in. It seems like a new call. 630, are you, what's your name, 630?
Alberto, Jeff McKinley.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing, my friend? I haven't
good,
heard from
you?
You in a while.
Yeah, I know. I haven't, my schedule's been clashing. I haven't been able to get online here.
Well, great to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, it's good to be able to chime back in here. As a libertarian, and you and I probably overlap on, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30% of the issues, and it's primarily on the social side,
right.
Not surprisingly. But, you're talking about how you can reach people, how you could be more effective, and the only thing that I would say as a libertarian in listening is more facts, less emotion, and anecdotal information. Somebody came out, with the idea of, school financing and saying that it isn't, that we need to put, possibly, I'm not sure exactly what was, I don't want to put words in the person's mouth, but that we needed more money into education. Well, the facts that I know, and if they're wrong, anyone can step up and prove me wrong, was the last 40 years, enrollment's up 8% and school employees are up 96%. Adjusted for inflation in 1970, K through 12, it costs $55,000 per student. It now costs $150,000. And locally here in Chicago, I think they're going to be running a $1 billion deficit in their schools. So I'm looking at this after inflation. It's up 300%. I don't know any business around that could have a client base increase of 8% and a staffing increasing 96% actually over that time.
Let me tell you, Jeff, first of all, those numbers that you're quoting, I have no doubt, knowing you and having been talking to you for all these months, that those numbers that you are coming out with are likely 100% accurate. I have no doubt about that. We are going to differ, and it's not for this show, because this show is mostly about how we function within Coffee Party, but I would definitely want to entertain that show with you at a different time, because I'm going to show you how all those costs are really because of the plutocracy that we have and how the money gets moved around. But that we can't sit down and discuss that right now.
Well,
but I want to have that discussion with you. And when I'm going to have that show, you get my feed. So when that show comes along, I really hope that you're going to be on it so we can talk about it. What you say? What say you?
Yep, I agree with that. And there's just one other thing. And as far as reaching me, because some of these things, you look at it and they're issues. Kids need to be educated. And then the other one that's a hot button right now are voting rights and having to show an ID. Well, a lot of people are under the belief that, I've got to have a driver's license to drive. I've got to, do a lot of things where I have to show my ID. Why wouldn't you have to, for voting? And, if people have difficulties getting out and getting an ID, we can't block those people from voting through this law because that's onerous. So how many people are in that situation? How could we correct that situation? So right now, I don't know if there's, 0.0001% of the population that this would affect, or maybe it would only affect people who aren't citizens. So if I had some statistics behind it rather than an emotional...
it's
going to
affect
one-third
of the people of the African-American community in North Carolina. Those are the facts. So
oh, really?
I'm
okay.
Million
that's
in
what
Pennsylvania.
Exactly. That's what I need to know.
But
right.
I'd like to have someplace on the website. So if you're having a discussion about that, you can put it on the website.
Right. Exactly, Sally. Now, let me say, Jeff, I'm glad that you came with actually that tone with the voter ID, because at first when you started, I was about to say, you're a libertarian, Jeff. You shouldn't want – where are you going with this? But anyway, I'm happy for exactly where you took the voter ID question as far as the fact-based evidence. That is exactly right. Now, look, we're running low on time. I am happy that you called in, but what I have to do now is give everybody a chance to give me about a 20-second or so statement, and I'm going to ask one thing out of this from Mike. Given that Mike, I took down some bullet points of the great discussion that we've had here, and what I'd like Mike to do, however, is if it's within his if he could, I'm asking this. Just send me what you kind of got, that what you think of some of the things that you've heard here. I'll match it up with what I have, and then I'll also go to the board. And it's great that Delan is here and Dan is here, because we can actually have a very good, robust conversation on tweaks that we need to make. So I'm going to ask each of you now to give us a 15, 20-second closer, and I'm going to start. You're going to go last, Mike. I'm going to start with Jeff.
Just to reiterate what I, had said before, less anecdotal information and emotion and more facts. I think that would convince more people.
Thank you very much, Jeff. John.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with the facts part, but I mean, you've got to understand that there are people putting out misinformation. There's a ton of people doing that. And I also want to say that Roberto Rodriguez, who I have a lot of respect for, but he made a comment a few shows ago about there are only 10 decent people of in Congress, and I think there are much more than that. There's a majority of the Progressive Caucus and the majority of the Black Caucus are excellent, and I think that the Coffee Party needs to take a stand on what they believe in, and then follow up on that and really try to create change, and shouldn't be so concerned about trying to just be non-polarized, and shouldn't push this whole thing about not having just a civil conversation. Don't push that so much. I mean, you've got to talk about issues.
John, I'm with you, John. And please, John, please join us. You are already a part of us more than you know. So please go ahead and sign up with us if you have the wherewithal to, my friend. Delanne.
Yeah, great conversation today. And as a board member, I'm really glad I got a chance to come in on this call. I think that this almost brings us back full circle to some of the sentiment that people had in the beginning that led them to get involved with the Coffee Party movement. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much for being here, Delanne. Greg.
Thanks for letting me sit in on this Coffee Party strategy session. It was very informative. I would only say this. I got involved and started following the Coffee Party a few years back, candidly, because I thought you were going to be the anti-Tea Party. I'm still waiting for that to happen.
Okay, thank you very much, Greg. And again, please remember, stay with us, all right? Remember, we are into solving problems. Sally.
I think it was a really helpful discussion, and I enjoyed it. I just want to say that I think that the Coffee Party National has a huge resource in the local groups that have formed and that can form. And it is this organization is not top-driven the way some others are. And I think that it is just vitally important to use that national party to let the local groups that are doing things be able to publicize that and find each other, and that people in various areas can find each other. I think that would be so helpful.
Thank you very much, Sally, and please make sure that you keep that modal going towards us. Thank you very much. Bruce.
Hi, I'd just like to go back to the different nonpartisan things. The NAACP, they were nonpartisan, and they got their message out, and they got things changed by influencing Congress. Gay rights got their message out, and they're nonpartisan, but they knew that with equality, which is what the Democratic Party stands for, they go with them. So the conscience of issues of what is right is what needs to prevail.
Thank you very much, Bruce. I am running short on time. I really appreciate that. I appreciate your call. Don Aronson.
Yep. Egberto?
Did I catch you at a bad time?
No, you cut off my mic.
Oh,
there
okay.
You go.
Go ahead.
I had to turn myself on. So, yeah, so Sally, within 30 days, there will be new tools coming out to do exactly what you want. We are addressing that under the Channels program. It will happen. It's happening. One quick thing for Jeff. Jeff, I did not say that we need to throw more money at education. I just said all parents want good education for their children. Now, this is where the Coffee Party comes in. This is our mission. Let's have a conversation on how we best do that.
Thank you very much, Dan. And Mike Potter.
Oh, Egberto, listen, I thank you so much for inviting me to be on the program today to talk about promoting and developing and strengthening and using local groups, and to talk about us, you know, being a valuable part of national movements whenever that's the best opportunity, rather than conduct our own internal movement. I do have one more of those tools about, you know, possibly about supporting local groups. I just wanted to
throw out real quick. You got 15 seconds, Mike. 15 seconds.
How many of our directors and leaders are active participants in local groups, and how many are not? It's a rhetorical question. I don't know the
I am, and but, I think a few others are.
Yeah, but it ramps up your awareness of the grassroots potential and problems. It keeps your finger on the pulse. You're being a good example for everybody, and I think it's something that, you know, ought to be highlighted, that our directors
will do, Mike.
are doing it.
Will do. Got to go, Mike. Here, guys, please remember to join our shows. On Mondays, we have Press One for Democracy with Dan Aronson, that great voice you just heard previous. On Tuesdays at 8 p.m., you have The Middle Ground with Eric Beiler and somebody else. On Thursday, you have Lunch with Loudon at 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, on Saturdays, you have Politics Done Right with yours truly, Egberto Willis. Thank you very much for listening. I really appreciate all the great information we have here. Please continue to bring people to Coffee Party. Remember, go to our site, coffeepartyusa.com, www.coffeepartyusa.com. Join us. We need you. Let's make a difference in this country. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.